This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
You know, this week I went down to a little town about an hour south of where I live to see a concert. And they're doing this creative concert series where they, it's Michael W. Smith and Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mac Powell from Third Day. And they're doing this creative concert series where they go to drive-ins and they basically do a concert outdoors so that people can, you know, come and, you know, be spread out and that kind of thing. And so my pastor friend and his wife and my wife, we drove down there for this thing, and it was really good. I, you know, those guys are some of the oldie goldies. You know, it's probably insults to say that to them, but, you know, we're all old in some ways. But they were pioneers in Christian music. And but there was there were several moments there in the night, at night, there outdoors, where they led us in worship. And one of the songs particularly was amazing, that Mac Powell sang. And I can't think of the name of it, but it's straight out of Revelation. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Holy, holy, holy. It's just really, really a good song. And I obviously found myself worshiping during that. But, you know, I was thinking too, because Stephen Curtis Chapman shared some cool things just at the microphone without singing, some truth about God that also made me worship. And it just reminded me of Revelation. Because here's the deal. Typically in the American church, really in the church worldwide, when we think about worshiping God, we always think about standing and singing. We always think about a band kicking up, or a piano player or a guitar player or whatever, and they're on stage and now it's time to worship. And it's sort of, we've just sort of so thinned out that word worship, or rather we've narrowed it down to this one little area of singing. And you could get the impression, if you didn't know any better, that that's the only time we worship at church. And I have known people, lots of people, from that have been in my congregations in the past, who have said to me, you know, Pastor, music just doesn't do it for me. I mean, I like music. I listen to music. But, and they may even be a musician, but he said, people said, you know, Jeff, that's not where I really connect with God in terms of worship, is through the music. I have other avenues in my life that I feel like are a better conduit for me personally as worship. But we have kind of said to the body of Christ, no, unless you sing, you're not worshiping. And I'll confess, there are times in my life when the music is really not going to do it for me, but the truth of what maybe be singing around me, maybe that's what's really ministering to me. And so that's what I've encouraged people to do in the past. You know, look at the words on the screen and see if those words can help prompt you to worship. But there have been times in church where I have not sung at all, many times, because I'm just either thinking about, meditating on the truths of what's on the screen, or maybe there's nothing on the screen that really does anything for me. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of Christian worship is simply someone's expression of their worship to God. It may not be your expression of worship to God. Some of them are scriptural and they're great, but here's the point. The point is, you don't have to sing in order to worship God. And how do we know that? Well, Revelation gives us a hint, because it's telling us what's going on in heaven. And I just want to clip through a couple of passages here and survey for you some of the ways that worship is expressed in heaven. Bet you'd be interested to know that. Beginning in chapter 4, we start with the four living creatures. And we said that these were cherubim angels, of the cherubim class of angels. And it says that, day and night, verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8, says day and night, they do not cease to say. It's a repetitive phrase that they say over and over again. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And they never tire of saying that, and God never gets tired of hearing that. So if you want to tell God something that is obviously true about him, but something that really honors him, read Revelation 4:8 to him. Because that's what the four living creatures are saying right now in heaven. So they're saying it, all right? How about chapter, same chapter, verses 10 and 11? Let's talk about the 24 elders. And we said that the 24 elders represent or representative of the body of Christ in heaven, of the bride of Christ in heaven. It says they fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever. Okay, so they're worshiping him. So what does that look like? Well, part of what it looks like is how they express it. Look what it says in the end of the verse. It says, "And they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, speaking, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they were created.'" So there is a declaration of praise there. Now, over in chapter 5 and verse 11, we see now the angels and the living creatures and the elders. So now we've got this huge chorus of those who are praising God around his throne. And it says the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. The Greek language did not have a number representing anything above the number 10,000. So that word myriads there is the number 10,000. It just says 10,000 times 10,000. And so there, in other words, a number that no one can count. It's the highest number. And then it says in verse 12, all of these together were saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And it goes on, "Every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. So there is an expression of worship in heaven that has nothing to do with singing. It's saying. So what's the point? Well, the point is, you worship God by telling him something that is true about him. You worship God by describing who he is, by ascribing to him glory and honor and dominion and power, and just telling God the things that are true about him that you have learned from the word. Or sometimes I'll go outside at night out here. We live on top of this little mountain ridge here, and I'll go out at night and there are no lights around except for the stars in the sky, and I will just tilt my head back as far as it will go, and I just gaze at the stars, and I contemplate the magnitude and the vastness of the universe and of space and of the stars and everything that's out there, and I just find myself worshiping. And, you know, sometimes there are no words. Sometimes it's just your spirit, and you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes you can express a whole lot of worship in one word. And there are times when I just say out loud, out there at night by myself, I just go, "Wow." Because I can't think of anything else. I can't think of anything greater to say. And sometimes I'll just say, "God, you are amazing." And when I see that, I just go, if you can do this simply by speaking it, then you can do anything that I need for you to do in my life, that you need to do in my life. I can overcome anything because the God who did that certainly can handle something much smaller. It's the argument from the greater to the lesser. And I just worship. And it, you know, sometimes it's not very long. It's just long enough to acknowledge the Lord. And so that's what these people are doing. Now, over in chapter 7, it's pretty interesting because now we got a hint of this in chapter 5 we just saw in verse 12. I'll get back to that in a second. But it says in verse 9 of chapter 7, "And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, and standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." Now, these are people, by the way, we learned over in verse 14, are the ones who have been martyred in the tribulation. So that tells us that there are going to be an untold number of people that will come to Christ in the tribulation, but they're going to be slaughtered, brutally slaughtered with the sword. Their heads are going to be chopped off, according to Revelation 20, verse 4. Watch this. It says, those people are in heaven, it says in verse 10, and they cry out with a loud voice. The verb there that John chooses for cry out is a very interesting Greek word, and it means to cry out with strong, deep emotion. I mean, originally the word had the idea of crying out like an animal cries out, or like the barking of a dog, or something that is involving a little bit of peril. But the idea is that it manifests deep feelings, something that is going on deep inside. The word is used in Matthew 20, verse 30, when it talks about Jesus passing by, and the man on the side of the road, he says he's cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." These two blind men, "Lord, have mercy on me." I mean, you can imagine how they would cry out for something like that. It's the same word used in Matthew 21:9, where it says the crowds going ahead of him when he came into Jerusalem were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It's the same word used in Matthew 27:23, where the crowd is chanting for Jesus' death. It says, and they kept shouting all the more, "Crucify him, crucify him." I mean, the word is used over and over and over in the New Testament. It's also used a lot in the book of Revelation. And it talks about in Revelation chapter 10, crying out with a loud voice as a lion roars. It talks about the angel coming out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to those who sat on the cloud, saying, "Put your sickle and reap, for the hour has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe." Speaking about the Battle of Armageddon. And it's just used over and over and over again. And so the thing that impresses me about this word is just the emotion that's involved in it. And that's what's happening. These people have been slaughtered for the name of Jesus Christ in heaven while they were on the earth. And it says, now they cry out with a loud voice. That word loud is the word mega. You know what that means? Just mega. It's the mega voice, you know? And they're just crying out. And do you get the idea here that all of worship is not the same in heaven? Because once again, you know, I've said this before, is that people think heaven's just going to be like one really, really long church service. Thank God it's not going to be like that, okay? It's going to be much more interesting, by the way, to be before God and to participate in this kind of worship. But all that to say is that we have different expressions of worship portrayed for us in Revelation. Sometimes we simply speak it contemplatively, you know, like the angels, "Holy, holy, holy." I mean, sometimes it's with a whisper. Other times it's crying out like we see here with deep emotion. And, you know, we have that today in our lives. I mean, there are times in our lives we clench our fists. You know, we put our hands on our chest and we just say, "God, come on, please, I'm crying out to you." And we request things in prayer for him that way, but we also worship him in that way. We just come to the end of our thoughts. "God, you're so amazing. I want to shout it from the mountaintops." that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so there are times when we say it. There are times when we cry out about worship. And let me give you one more. In Revelation 5 and in verse 9. And again, this is the four living creatures and the 24 elders. And we're standing, we're before the throne. And we've been falling on our faces and we've been worshiping God. And then it says in verse 9, it says, and they sang a new song. They sang a new song. So just in case you thought there wasn't any music in heaven, no, there is. In fact, it says in the verse before, it says each one of the 24 elders has a harp. And a harp was a stringed instrument, like a lyre. You call it a guitar, I guess, in our day. But they're playing music and they're singing songs. Over in chapter 14, it's talking about the 144,000, and it says they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. So there are specialty songs in heaven that only certain groups may know because of their particular experience. They sing a particular song of worship to God. So, and here's the great thing. I don't know if you've ever considered this or not. Think about some of the greatest music that has ever been written, recorded, sung, or played in the world. I mean, maybe you're a fan of symphony and classical music, and you're into Mozart and Debussy and Chopin and Bach and all these other people, Beethoven. Or maybe you're more contemporary and you like some modern music, or maybe you're sort of classic rock, whatever you're into, you know. But maybe you're a Beatles fan, which proves you're a really, really smart person, okay? Well, some of the greatest music that has ever been written has been written by people in the last few hundred years. And let me tell you something. There's some great music out there. There's some really horrible music out there, but there's some really, really good music. But all the best music, the best geniuses, the best songwriters have ever been able to do is simply coming from a mind that is very, very limited and a creative tank that is contained and suppressed by our own humanity. Think about the music in heaven that will either be written by people in heaven or by the angels or who knows. But whatever it's going to be, we know, A, it's going to be tons and tons more creative than what we've ever heard here on the earth. And there are going to be sounds and melodies and harmonies and relationships between chords and notes that have not been invented yet. And even beyond that, new dimensions of music that we could not possibly have conceived of while here on the earth. Music, I don't care what your music is, how much what you like, whatever. It's heaven's music is going to be infinitely better. And what's better than that is you're going to know it. You're going to feel it. You're going to sense it. And that will help prompt you to sing. It's great to sing to great music. And it's hard to sing to music that just is horrible. But there's going to be music in heaven. We're going to sing in heaven. We're going to worship God through the greatest music that has ever penetrated the human ear. So next time you hear a really great worship song and it really moves you, just say to yourself, this doesn't come close to touching heaven and the way the music's going to be there. That's what God has planned. That's some of the aspect of our worship, some of what's going on in heaven. And I hope that this little series has been meaningful to you, just to give you a glimpse, just to peek through the curtain to see what's going on in heaven, what's going to go on in heaven, and most of all, to motivate us now, because that's what Future Truth does. Future Truth impacts our lives right now. And maybe, just maybe, you've caught a little bit of that spirit of the worship in heaven. If so, then I encourage you to practice that right now in your life, and look for ways in God's Word to praise Him. Look for ways and things that He's doing in your life to give Him glory and honor and adoration. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Listen, you can catch this anywhere, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Android, it doesn't matter. We're also on the Edify Network right now, EDIFI. It's got lots and lots of other Christian podcasts as well. God bless. Have a great week. And don't forget, pray for this podcast ministry that God will use it greatly. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.